Please.
Help you.
Again, you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And it's time right now for the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. You just heard there Mr. T with Mr. T's Commandments. Today on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, an interview with Bobito the Barber, a.k.a. DJ Cucumber Slice, who is coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, tomorrow night to the Tokyo Lounge, starting at 10 p.m. He's going to do a complete DJ set, and he's also going to sign copies of his book, Where'd You Get Those? That's Bobito the Barber, a.k.a. DJ Cucumber Slice, a bit later on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. But first, right after I play the Dead Vampires from Seattle, Washington, 90125, we're going to have an interview with Billy Talent. Yes, Billy Talent going head-to-head with Bobito the Barber, a.k.a. DJ Cucumber Slice, who will be on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show a bit later today. But here's the Dead Vampires from Seattle, Washington, with their brand new demo release CDR, Spookaboo Circus!
We are the Billy Talents.
Who is in Billy Talent? Please tell me.
Aaron.
Ben.
John.
Ian.
John.
Ben.
Aaron.
Ian.
Thank you, Billy Talent!
Yes.
Ben, right off the bat, are you a model?
No.
Were you ever a model?
No.
For a student price card?
Yes, yes, I was. I knew he'd do something like that. Yes. I'm probably going to blush. Yes, I did do that.
Now, what did you do? Please explain. There were cardboard cutouts of you.
I had to stand like this with a girl like this, and I was wearing a beige sweater and a turtleneck like this, and it was in the Shoppers Drug Marts across Vancouver, actually, ironically enough. Whoa. Ironically enough.
Wait, they were trying to censor that little sound bite you were doing there by turning off the light there.
Yeah. No, that was our tour manager.
But Ben, tell me a little bit about this model gig that you had, because I find this quite fascinating. No, because you had cardboard cutouts of yourself.
Yeah. And of me, though. There was a girl. It wasn't like I was all brawn and in oil standing there or anything. It was like me and a girl Like, it was for the SPC card, so the student price card or whatever it's called. Yeah.
Ian, has anybody brought them to gigs for anybody to sign?
No, I've never seen one, actually.
Yeah, I think it's only Vancouver, because my grandma in Nanaimo has one, I think, in her kitchen.
It's cardboard cutouts, because that's weird, because you think, I mean, you know, Billy Talent, you have the videos, you're out there, but little did
like
people...
4 or 5 years ago, though.
Like, how dare people... What sort of feedback did you get from the cardboard cutout?
I don't think anyone actually saw it, though. Like, that's the thing, it wasn't even a big deal. All it was for me was making enough money to pay for my tuition for that 6 months.
But does it make you feel kind of bad? Like, I mean, here you are, Billy Talent, you get recognition. It's great to have recognition, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, you love it.
Woo!
And here you do a cardboard cutout, and nobody cares.
No one cares. But that was 5 years ago before the band took off.
I know, but still you should get some feedback, right?
Yes, you should.
I've never seen it either.
I want to see it.
Nothing. It's like I said, it's me.
What are you wearing, like a turtleneck or something?
Yeah, I'm just wearing a shirt, like a sweater cardigan mock faux thing. Yeah. So, anyway.
The secret model past
of Ben Kulawitz.
Of Billy
Talent.
Now, I want to read off some band names here. Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet.
Metallica.
Master Puppets.
Thunder.
Struck.
Slippery When
Wet.
All recorded at the Factory Studios, where we recorded the last day we were recording. You went in to record right after, so day after.
Yes, this is what I was going to say.
We got dirt on you, too.
The secret metal pass.
We're bonded together.
Oh, Billy Town, but let's just go back here for a second. The Factory Studios, where you guys recorded, Metallica recorded there, Bon Jovi, David Lee Roth. What sort of vibe? Did people know that this is such a metal vibe that you recorded in at the Factory?
We could have just asked the people that worked there, and we got the folklore stories were confirmed about it. You know, we always heard, like, when we were looking at the resume of the studio saying, like, oh, blah, blah, blah. We're like, really? Like,
yeah.
Slippery One.
It doesn't seem like that at all, too, because, like, originally someone there, Sheldon, the engineer, told us that there used to be a thing called the echo chamber there, and when he took us to see it, it was just a loading dock.
Yeah.
So you think a studio that would produce so many fine metal albums would have gold records on the wall, but the only thing there was, like, the soundtrack to, like,
Private parts.
Yeah, there you go. That's the only thing. What's up with that?
No, that's cool, though. That was, yeah.
I agree. Gob had one of those up there, too, I think.
Agent Electric poster, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you recorded, though, at the Factory here in Vancouver, Dr. Feelgood.
Unbelievable.
That's where it was done.
I know, it's insane.
What sort of vibe? Because, I mean, you know, you guys play some punk gigs, but come on, this is full-on metal. You got to exploit this.
We like the rock. We're so happy with
that. You got to exploit the metal background here. The Factory. I mean, na 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 na. Thunder. Na 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 na.
Thunder.
Yeah, and all Dr. Feelgood. Because the Factory really is an amazing place. Like, I'm joking about all the metal that was there, but actually it really did happen, didn't it?
If we think that it was that room and the people and just the environment in Vancouver that made our sound the way it does.
It also had many punk bands record, because it used to be called Little Mountain, and many punk bands recorded there, like the Subhumans, the Pointed Sticks from Vancouver also recorded there, the Young Canadians with Art Bergman, the K-Tells, tons and tons of bands.
Art Bergman.
And now Billy Talent have added to the legend of the Factory Studios.
It's good.
One other thing about the Factory. Do you know the legend of David Lee Roth recording at the Factory?
No, never heard that one.
He recorded at the Factory and he made a rock climbing wall, an actual wall that he could climb.
Really? Unbelievable.
Yes.
Like in the main room?
Yeah, in the main room on the side there.
Weird.
And he also painted a gigantic mural. Every band that went into the Factory or Little Mountain used to sign their name, like, on the wall, but he painted a big mural right over it.
That's
of a hooker.
That's perfect.
And then you know what happened? In the end, the city complained, because it was the back wall where everybody parks,
yeah.
And they had to paint over everything. So everybody else's autograph was completely erased.
Unbelievable.
And you're thinking, okay, well, Jimmy Page didn't record there. Well, maybe he did or maybe he didn't, but when Jimmy Page records, are, who drops in town, like, say, Eric Clapton. He would sign his name, but then David Lee Roth had it all painted over.
Mural of the hooker.
Selfish bastard.
He painted a mural of the hooker.
That's why you guys, from now on, have to diss the David Lee Roth and continue the power of the Factory. Was there any of that vibe when you recorded there? Like, where are you going to record next?
David Lee Roth.
How are you going to top that? How are you going to top the Factory?
We're coming back to Vancouver, I think, to record.
Whereabouts?
Not telling.
Not at the warehouse, is it?
We actually don't have anything, but we want to record some of it back in Vancouver.
No, it'll be good to do some stuff there. And then maybe you could repaint the mural.
Dun, dun, dun.
It'll be me, though, modeling, naked with a headphone.
We'll just get the cardboard cut out and get them everywhere.
Papier-mâché.
Well, actually, I have a little suggestion for you guys. You're coming back to Vancouver. We're not sure if you're going to record at the factory again, but the urinal from the factory, Little Mountain, was put on eBay a few years ago. The actual urinal.
Unbelievable.
That all those rockers like Dr.
Feel Good
and Slippery When.
What?
All recorded. It was on eBay. Maybe you can buy it with all the money you've been making.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure what it went for, but have you had any rock star indulgences? Because that would be the best thing. You could buy the urinal and then bring it to Vancouver and record another studio.
Yeah, that's true, man.
For the inspiration.
I think that would work.
Because it's hard to capture what you guys did. I mean, 200,000 sold.
200,000.
Come on, that's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good. Give it up for yourself.
Thank you.
That's pretty 200,000.
Way to go. Thank you.
It's not quite the private parts numbers, but still, pretty damn good. So, I mean, how are you going to be able to do that? I mean, that's going to be hard. To conquer that again. You're going to need that urinal.
Just rub it. Kiss it.
You're going to need that urinal.
We will. We definitely will.
For this next record, are you thinking of bringing in Gavin Brown at all? Yes. Billy Talon.
He's doing it again with us.
The next record.
And what's the background on Gavin Brown? Because he had some flag camping, didn't he?
He flag camped for a while.
That was an important Toronto band, wasn't it?
Very big guy.
And they were kind of misunderstood, too, weren't they?
They were like,
kind of like Billy Talon.
Hey.
Like, flag camp were slightly misunderstood, weren't they?
Yeah, they opened for Fugazi and things like that.
Yeah, they were like one of the premier Toronto indie bands.
I just got a flag camp CD in Saskatoon, of all places, last week.
Sure.
Yep, they put out lots of great records. Slightly misunderstood, they worked really hard to get all this thing together. Now, Gavin Brown is the producer. He really worked you guys hard, didn't he?
Yes.
Like, he really worked you hard.
Yeah, very hard.
Me especially.
So what are the tips? Like, what did he bring to make you guys recreate? Like, how are you going to recreate what you did? This is going to be hard, isn't it?
It's going to be very hard.
This is not going to be easy, is it?
It's going to be a challenge.
What I think is neat, though, when you guys signed to Atlantic Records. Atlantic.
I saw the twinkle in your
eyes. No. When Billy Talon signed, I like the way your CD is decked. You give homage to Atlantic.
Thank you. Yeah, that's old school.
It's the old Led Zeppelin record.
You sold out. You might as well wear the logo, probably. You've joined a major label. What's wrong with wearing the label?
Well, it's not selling out if you go to a major label, is it?
No, I think it's great that you went to a major label and you did it on your own terms.
Thank you.
Because here you are. Hi, we're Billy Talent. We want our CD to look this way. And I bet you had a lot of pressure to get a producer, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. They were told us that they didn't... Like, who's this Gavin Brown guy?
Yeah, but you wanted the flick.
You really did do something.
I'm sorry if I did. Was it hard, though? And what tips do you have for bands that signed to a label to stick to their guns? Because you guys stuck to your guns. You did what you wanted, and in the end, it worked. I mean, you know what's really great? You talk to bands about how stuff is thrown up against the wall. You know how to knowledge you've
been. Against the wall, and they will stick,
You see what sticks against the wall.
Yeah.
You guys stuck.
So far.
Like, hooray!
Hurrah!
Finally, a success story!
Dude, but we've been together for 11 years, so...
But still, it worked!
But it worked.
It worked.
No indie label would ever sign us, so we signed to a major in the end.
And it stuck, and it worked. So how did you keep Gavin? Like, how did you keep, like, get a punk rocker involved?
We just told the label would be calling us, like, oh, we want you to work with Joe Blow, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, well, we want to work with Gavin. They're like, no, well, and we said, no, we're going to work with Gavin. And they want us to record in L.A. We said, no, we want to record in Canada. And we saw the factory, Little Mountain, and we stuck to our guns, and it worked out.
What other producers were suggested to you guys in Billy Talon?
Michael Beinhorn,
Howard Benson.
No, can you get a bit of back? Come on, give me some background on these guys. I like I'm going to know these names.
He did a Soundgarden album
or something.
No, that's Howard.
POD guy?
Yeah, the POD guy.
Kind of fun, though, wasn't it?
Yikes.
No. Are they Christian rockers?
I think
POD,
so.
Yeah.
That would be kind of fun. Anybody else?
Some guy that did, like, Newfound Glory and all that. I can't remember that guy. Yeah. Some other guy.
What did the P.O.D. Billy Talent sound been? Like, what do you think that would have sounded like?
Christian Talent. I don't know.
Desperately wrong. It just wouldn't have been right.
So, Billy Talent, you guys helped out your producer, Gavin Brown. Now, what have you created for him? what sort of offers has he had, and what bands has he produced and unleashed upon the world?
I think
like 3 days grace, right?
3 days grace.
Like if it wasn't for you guys, there would be no 3 days grace.
Actually, no, because
so you take the blame. You're the blame.
No, it's no blame. He did 3 days grace before.
And then he did Art second. So
okay. Oh, really? So
he did Thornley after, and the new Tea Party, I think.
So he's to blame for the new Tea Party.
Yes, he's to blame for the new Tea Party.
So you've created a whole new mess for your producer.
F him. He's gone.
Is he going to have any time for you guys?
I think so.
Let's hope so.
Billy Talent, you spent 5 weeks recording this record. 5 weeks, wasn't it?
Here.
Some bands, you know, like my band spent 2 days.
Yeah, well, that was every other album we did, yeah.
Okay, anyways, 5 weeks recording your brand new album. Well, the most recent album. You also spent 5 weeks on tour with the Buzzcocks.
That's right.
5 weeks.
Yeah. 5 weeks.
All the whole U.S. tour we did with them.
Now, what was that like? 5 weeks for the Buzzcocks, and what was the Buzzcocks audience like? I understood you once had a hamburger thrown at you.
I had half a hamburger thrown at me. They hated us.
Now, a hamburger thrown at you during a Buzzcocks gig, does that symbolize the type of people that come to a Buzzcocks gig? Like, I wouldn't get rid of my hamburger.
I know. I wouldn't get rid of my hamburger either. Half-eaten. I don't know.
What did the people look like?
They looked old.
They
and
looked like old 40-year-old accountants who decided to put their exploited T-shirt on for a weekend and go out and get drunk and harass people. You know what I mean?
Don't get me wrong. I love the Buzzcocks. I'm amazing.
Absolutely.
What did the hamburger look like? Like, how did you know it was a hamburger? When you chuck something against the wall. Like, how did...
I reckon there was onion rings lying on a cymbal, so I was like
just riding on the cymbal.
Did the bun, like, did it have a harpoon?
The bun and the patty actually fell on the snare drum, and I actually hit it with my stick and had to push it off. And that was our first show with them, too, and I'm like, what are we in for?
Yeah, we're dead.
That must have been a pretty harsh sort of berg that was really stuck together. Was it pretty toxic?
Pretty toxic. We got lots of beer cans thrown at us. We got punches thrown at us, spit thrown at us. Spit at us. Lots of things.
Billy Talent.
Yes.
You're not Billy Talent, but I just thought I would throw that out there.
Thank you. Like the guy who just did the interview. Hey, sign this for me, Billy. I'm like, dude, my name's Ben, man. What's the matter with you?
But that happens quite a bit. I was watching the rock and roll band Franz Ferdinand, and a guy came up to me and said, is that Franz Ferdinand? And it was just like guitar tech of the opening band.
Hey.
You do have that problem.
We have that problem.
I mean, that problem does actually happen. Yeah. But Billy Talent, you were speaking a little bit about buzzcocking and stuff thrown at you. Now you guys are the headliners, and you can bring whatever band you want on tour, can't you?
Well, we can in Canada, yeah.
Now, how has that been going? Because I understand the Metric had an interesting time in Ottawa.
In Ottawa. Yeah. That was, I think, the second show that they were with us.
Second?
Yeah. Second show. Yeah.
So welcome to Billy Talent Tour.
Yeah.
Are they getting punked?
No, now they're...
How do they know they're not getting punked? Like, it's like, hey, Metric, come on tour with us, Billy Talent. You know, like, we have to tour with the Buzzcocks. You're going to have to tour with us.
We're Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah. Like, you know, you want to step up to the big leagues. You're on a major label-affiliated Last Gang. You know, you want to have some fun.
True.
So what happened with them? Like, what tips could you give them? What happened in Ottawa?
We have been big fans of theirs for a long time. Actually, we saw them here the last time with Hugs the Workman.
I love your intro for this. This is great.
We're big fans of theirs. So we asked them to come and Death from Above 1979.
Let's just get to the point here. Ottawa, Death from Above 1979. Get on.
Rocked it.
Prog rocker.
They come rock.
Crowd going wild. What is the Billy Talent crowd like?
I think some kids were throwing bottles and stuff like that.
But nothing at Death from Above.
No,
got that. So, Death from Above, then the Metric get on.
Yeah, I think there was just a couple drunk guys who were trying to be funny, and they threw a bottle, and it hit Emily, and Emily didn't like that, and she spoke her mind.
And she walked off stage.
And she came back.
And she came back.
Yeah.
And then she walked off stage again.
Yes.
And the bass player kept doing a bass solo.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. It was a lot of noise. Josh, he's got some chops.
And as I mentioned to the Metric, people reviewed the gig and they said, yeah, the best part was the bass solo, but the guy had stupid effects on the bass solo. What? Like they were complaining about the bass solo.
Did he have a plan?
Like, that's how hard your audience is. The whole band, the Metric, walks off. The guy's doing a bass solo. Like, wow. And then, he hit an effect, and he didn't like it.
The wah-wah.
Yeah. Is that how hard it is to please an audience? Like, what have you guys learned from that? How would have you handled the situation different? I mean, when the hamburger got thrown, what happened?
I was actually upset because it threw me off. But it only threw me off for a second. So, and I came back and I was like, what the hell is going on?
You just learn. You play for the people that enjoy it, and the people that don't like it, who cares?
You can't force it down their throats. Yeah. If they don't like it, they still got to eat it.
But do you feel that no matter how good the band is, the crowd is always going to react that way?
I don't know.
Like if it was Queen. I was trying to tell this is a metric, too. Queen in their prime, and they're always in their prime. Or Clash in their prime opening. What if the Billy Talent audience done the same thing? Be careful with this answer.
I don't know.
Don't put the mic in front of him. Not in front of me. That's an Ian question.
I guess what I'm saying is, you know, the audience. There's no way to change. You know, is any band in the world, is that going to happen?
I don't think so. It depends on the audience. Like, if the audience has come to see a certain thing, they're gonna come to see a certain thing, and it's... if you could have the greatest band in the world, and if the audience is there to see something else, maybe then they're not going to really dig that.
Aha! That's what I was waiting for. So the metric could be the greatest band in the world, but people just didn't appreciate it at that moment.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Now, part two of the question, though, Billy Talent, is reacting to that. Could have they handled it any differently?
I mean, everyone's different and unique unto themselves. You know what I mean? We've grown up from a school where we play a lot of punk rock.
You hippie.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
Hippie?
I just thought it sounded hippie, unique to themselves.
No, but I mean, we've grown up where people throw shit at you, and they'll yell at you, and they'll throw beer bottles at you, or punch you, or push you, and that's kind of where we've grown up with, and playing in hardcore shows and doing stuff like that. So we've kind of learned that that's okay, and it doesn't really matter, and sometimes people throw stuff at you because they like you. You know what I mean? So for us, and they've never really been exposed to that kind of world. So
did the Buzzcocks tell you anything about touring, about having stuff thrown at them? Because they played with the Sex Pistols most recently, too. Like, what did they tell you any neat stuff?
Tony would tell us just, like, the thing that he would always say to us after we got off show, and if it was a bad show for us, he'd be like, you guys do what you do and leave it on the stage and just have fun. If you care about what you're doing, then it doesn't matter about the people in the audience, you know?
Have they talked about any instances about weird stuff happening to him? Because, you know, the phlegm, speaking of phlegm camp, the stuff, you know, the spit, did they talk about any of that? Like, is everything easy for them?
Whether they were spitting on and Philip, and he was like, one more person spits on me, I'm walking off this bloody stage.
Yeah, they were getting spit on constantly.
Like, their fans think, like, the new kids that go to see their shows, were constantly spitting at the band, thinking it was a cool thing to do. But here are these 45-year-old legends on stage, and it pissed them off. So,
wait a second, Ian. You were mad that people didn't spit on you opening for the Buzzcocks?
No. I was happy they spit on us and not them, because they're legends.
No, but you said that they spit on them because they liked them, and maybe they didn't like you. So if they don't like you, they don't spit on you. So you want to be bad. Right? Like,
no, we want to
be bad. No, but you want to be bad if you open for the Buzzcocks, because if they like you.
Spit on, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, there you go. We were that bad that we never got spat on. We just had stuff thrown at us.
And you are Billy Talent. I have another quote here. One listen to the harmony-driven rock melodies, and they've got your attention.
Okay.
Do you remember that quote at all, Ben?
That wasn't a quote from me.
That was a quote that you made, you industry person, you.
What are you talking about?
This is a quote from Ben. One listen to the harmony-driven rock melodies, and they've got your attention.
Where's your source? I want to see your source.
That source was when you were at CFNY quoting a band that you really liked called Nine Lives.
Nine Lives?
Yes, a band called Nine Lives.
I don't even know who that is.
Yourself about
No, it's on their website. It's a quote from you.
9 Mile.
Oh, I was closer.
9 Mile, and that's all I didn't even do that. That was my roommate at the time, and he said, can we use a quote from you? Like, what are you going to say? And he said, that isn't sure. Go ahead. He was my roommate.
Because that quote is still on the website.
Trev Norris. Remember Trev Norris?
See, there's a lot of your secret past that pops up. Yeah, we have your cutout cardboard copies in the student price card.
Yes.
And we have quotes of yours. One listen to the harmony-driven rock melodies, and they've got your attention.
Trev Norris. Yeah, they're friends of mine. They were starting out. Yeah.
Is that the way that Ben talks?
Somewhere.
All the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty industry, isn't it?
Not really.
I mean, come on, what did you learn from the industry? Sorry, I didn't mean to say come on, but yeah, come on. What did you learn from the industry?
From what industry?
Well, you worked at, like, CFNY. That's pretty exciting. Like, you must have met, like, he met Gene Simmons, didn't he?
He probably did, yeah.
And you probably met Meryl
Strummer. I met David Bowie, yeah.
What did you learn not to do?
I was just a schmuck. I would just kind of stand around and hold, have a little thing and sit there and staring at an ADAT, making sure that it was recording. You know, I wasn't, like, in the scene. I wasn't the main man or anything like that. I was the guy who would sweep the floors and get coffees for people most of the time.
Do you ever have to hold Ben back?
No.
And what I mean by that is, for instance, like, you've served all these people. You know, maybe they haven't treated you the nicest. And now you're in Billy Talent, 200,000 souls. It's time for revenge.
Be mine.
Like, are you like, come on, Ben, I know what happened back then.
Oh,
unbelievable. We've never had to hold him. He's not a revenge kind of guy, so...
But has there been anybody like, hey, I think I remember you doing my coffee?
No. It's funny now when I see people that used to work there, like my bosses, be like, hey, you're doing really well for yourself now. It's like, yes, sir, you know.
Yeah. Winding up here, Billy Talent, I know this is kind of CFNY-ish, but what sort of rock star tantrums have you seen over the years? And we began by metal guys, you know, Skid Row loved the tantrums, Quiet Riot loved the tantrums. Were there any on-air CFNY tantrums at all? Just curious.
The worst one that I ever saw was... what's the guy's name from Ian Ashbury from The Cult?
A Canadian, isn't he?
Ian Ashbury?
Really?
He's not Canadian. He's a Brit.
I think he grew up here.
Oh, really? I know the guitar player was working at Christian's Music Store.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, Ian Stewart. Yeah. He was a... I knew he would quit the music. Anyway, whatever. He had a big rant on air and just... he pulled a big hissy fake with someone because my friend Bookie asked him a question. Was all.
What was the question?
I can't remember. That's what I'm trying to figure it out. I can't remember. But it really offended him. He got really... And Jet got really offended. Bookie.
Oh, yeah.
Why did Jack get offended?
Yeah, yours was great, too.
Why did Jack get offended?
Because Bookie started playing like...
No, Dave Bookman,
yeah. Good, yeah. Bookie's the best.
How did he get offended?
He played, I think, Lust for Life or something like that for them. And said, yeah, and said, oh, have you ever heard this song before? And they're like, oh, this is crap.
He reminds me a lot like you, actually,
Yeah.
So with this experience, like, in the industry doing stuff, have you found yourself doing the double standard thing where you react when you wouldn't have reacted that way before?
I don't understand the question.
Well, I guess, what have you learned not to do?
We've always kind of just stick to our guns and do whatever we want. We don't really... We're good people, so we don't try to hurt anyone's feelings ever. We just kind of do what we do and play our music.
I guess what I meant is, like, you're doing an interview. Do you ever feel yourself maybe falling into the same trap and you think to your back of mind, oh, yeah, Jet already exploded. Ian Asprey already exploded. I heard Ben get into it. I'm not going to explode. This is going to play into everything.
No.
Like, have you been able to avoid traps? You're like, they're setting me up. I'm a bit, you know.
Oh, yeah. I have some guys who will do interviews with you who, you know, they work for some local fans, you know, something like that, and they're just trying to get the best of you. And I always kill them with kindness. Yeah.
Actually, I heard a little bit about that where some guy went up to you and said, you suck!
That was recently. That was like 2 days ago.
Well, no, actually, there's another guy said, you suck!
Oh, imagine that.
Another guy said, you suck, Billy Talent! Yeah. And then you yelled over to the guy, well, hey, come over here, let me buy you a beer.
Yeah.
You bought him a beer.
Yeah.
And now he's your fan.
Yeah.
Beer works! I thought that was great, though, because I talked to this guy that knew this other guy or whatever, and he said, yeah, my friend went down and said, Billy Talent, you suck! He said, the lead singer said, come over here and buy him a beer, and now he's a Billy Talent fan.
Yeah, he was a nice guy, actually. I think he was going to school for stonemasonry or something like that.
It was like in Ottawa, I think.
Yeah, was at Zephons.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You are unbelievable.
You actually remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Actually, because I remember because it was Jagermeister. I bought him and his girlfriend a shot. Because I said, if you don't like the music, there might be more to me than just my music, so come and sit down and let's talk. He was like, okay, and we sat down and we did shots together. It was fun. They were nice guys, actually.
That's the way to conquer it with the Billy Talents in Vancouver.
British Columbia.
Canada. And winding up your Billy Talent, Ben, again, sorry for dwelling on the Ben thing, eh?
No, it's okay.
I mean, but the cardboard cutout thing was pretty good.
Oh,
eh?
Prices.
I wish we could get, like,
Bills. I was starving.
Does anybody have a copy of them?
My grandma does have one.
Does she have a digital camera?
I probably not.
Can she, like, send a picture of it to us so we can use it for its interview?
I could probably get one. But no, she's my mom on vacation right now. And it's true.
Well, this might be a couple months before it's air. Don't try to make excuses.
That's not an excuse. I really are making.
Billy Talent, Ben specifically again, cleaning the airplane toilets. I find this quite fascinating about cleaning the toilets in the airplanes. What actually is in the toilets?
Oh my God. Well, think about it. There's tampons. There's barf. There's pee. There's poop. There's diarrhea. There's just any form of excrement.
No. How did you know that that's in there? It's like the tube clear.
No, but to be honest with you, there was one guy, and I'll never forget this. It was his first day or, like, second day, and you have to really make sure that the hose is hooked up, and you pull on it, and then you pull the lever, and you make sure you can feel the stuff coming out. He didn't screw it on properly, and he pulled the lever, and all of it went all over him, dude, and it was the most... Dis-
got, like, they had to take him to the fire hall and spray him down and, like, and get him Hep C shots.
Yeah,
that. He was cut, and just from noticing what was around his feet was, yes, all those things that I...
Why did fire, like, a normal shower wouldn't do it?
I guess not.
It stinks and it's grippy.
They hosed him down.
Were you watching?
No, I felt so bad for the guy. He was a nice guy.
No, but were you there when it happened?
I saw him do the thing, because I showed him how to do it. Because I didn't have to do it anymore. So.
Oh, yeah, you showed him how to do it. Just like he showed the metric how to open for you in Iowa. You guys are full of surprises.
So you're saying you showed him how... Shoot him the ropes.
There is he okay?
There you go, kiddo. Yeah, yeah. I left shortly after, but I'm sure he's doing okay.
So you did see a bit of it come down then?
Oh, he was all over the ground. He was covered in head to toe and
crap. And he totally did. He did. How much did you look? Like, how long did you look?
Oh, we were buckled. All the guys were working there. We were laughing hysterically for a good long time. And then they had to. But he did. The way this looked, like, he had the look of defeat, and he just kind of walked slowly away, and they put him in a car and drove him away. Yeah. They had to put garbage back. Oh, I was so sad.
Yeah. Did he come back to work, or was he too embarrassed?
I think I left 2 days after that. I quit. Because $7 an hour wasn't enough to maintain that, you know?
Yeah. Well, can you get that cardboard cut out and find out what happened to him for me, please?
Andrew Hay was his name. Yeah, I could try to find out, yeah.
Ian of Billy Talent, speaking of airports and stuff, going through customs, is it true that they have asked...
They've asked if they can inspect my hair.
I thought they've asked you to remove your hat.
Oh, yes, they have. They have, with the hair done up. Yes, they have asked me to remove
my hat. How can you prove that is not a hat? Like, how do you prove that that's not a hat?
That's where the inspection process comes in. They actually, like, they you know, feel it with the gloves and everything. They're like, oh, okay, oh, that is hair, I think.
But how did it go in far?
Because, you know, I kind of poked at it a bit, and they figured, oh, there's the top of your head there. Okay, all right.
Have any of them not believed it?
No, it's been fine. It's only happened once, when they thought it was a hat.
And what happened then? This what you described?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you ever secretly hope that it'll happen again?
Yes.
Now I do.
No, I've never heard the story either. I never saw that happen.
I hate to say this, but I think the ultimate fantasy after going through this interview would be you, Ian, cleaning the airplane now with the stuff landing on your head. I don't know why. I don't know. That's just the ultimate information.
That's evil.
No, I know. Okay, that's not evil. I don't know. I just pictured that. I'm sorry, because then those stuff would get caught there, and then those customs guys would go... But you know what I mean? No, because you know, like, when you go through customs, it's quite embarrassing.
It's like a bowl full of excrement. They can just, like...
Well, that's what I meant, though. It's like, you know, screw you customs people.
God.
No, because, like, how dare they think that that is a hat?
Yeah, there's no bomb in there.
And then they would go through your hair, and then... They'd get, you know, there'd be payback time.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good call.
Billy Talent, anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
Doot-doot-doot-doot.
Not quite. Anything else you want to add to the people out there?
Thank you for a great year. We've had a lot of fun.
Well, thanks so much, Billy Talent. Why should people care about Billy Talent? Why should people care?
Because we're darn nice guys.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Billy Talent, and doot-doot-doot-doot.
Do do. All right, y'all. Here we go. You clap your hands and you stomp your feet because you're listening to the sound of the show you need. I'm the K-I-N-G, the G-I-M, King James the Third, and I am here. Just me, Fat Fat, and the crew. We're doing it all just for you. We're strong as an ox and tall as a tree. We can rock you so viciously. We throw the highs in your eyes, the bass in your face. We're the funk machines that rock the human race. Skate down, boogie shot. Come on, girl, let's do the rock. Slam dunk, do the jerk. Let me see your body work. To the beat, everybody. To the beat, everybody. Two, four, six, eight. Fat back, don't you hesitate. shoot to know just who you've been listening to. I am the voice of King Tim the Third. Tell you what I want you to do. A little left hand, right hand in the air, and you swing like you just don't care. You put the left leg out, the right leg in, say the hustlers out and the rockers in. About a quarter of folks might was at your door when you wondered who it was. You started to shake and shiver, so I said it was me, your little old cuz. I said to open the door and let me in. I rock you so good you want it again. I rock you so good you heard bells ring. They went ring ding dang a ding a ding ding. Ring ding dang a ding a ding ding to the beat, everybody. Once you reach the top, you won't be alone. You got King Jim on the microphone. Just grab your partner, you start to swing, cause I'm well known just like Burger King. I don't sell burgers, open fries. I'm only here to make your nature right. Just grab your partners around and round. Just grab her by the butt and boogie it down. Just open up a jacket and open a bra and dance just like at the Mardi Gras. I'm the man of action, the main attraction. The girls call me the satisfaction. I'm the Romeo, the Casanova. Here's the night I'm going to get over to the beat. Everybody, to the beat. Everybody, to the beat.
And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And who do we have on the line right now? Are you there, caller?
Hey, what's happening? It's Bobby Douglas here, a.k.a. DJ Cucumber Slide from Nueva York.
Who are you exactly? Who are you exactly, and what do you do?
Well, I'm a DJ, and I spin worldwide. I'm based here in New York. I'm also an author of the book, Where'd You Get Those? New York City Sneaker Culture, 1960 to 1987, as well as the editor-in-chief of Bounce Magazine and a columnist for Vibe Magazine.
And you're coming here to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada tomorrow, Bobito, to spin some tunes at the Tokyo Lounge.
Yeah.
That's 1050 Alberni Street in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and around 10 p.m. it's starting, and you're doing a signing. Are you going to be signing your book there? What are you going to be playing? What can people expect?
It's right next to the Kobe Steakhouse, and as far as musical selection, I would say come with an open mind. Don't expect anything but just about anything, and I'll just leave that at that. I will be from 10 to 11 sitting down, and if you want to come and bring copies of the book to sign, I'll be more than obliged and happy to do that.
What other stuff can people bring to sign? What other stuff of yours is out there? Like, do you have your own shoe?
Yeah, well, I designed a model called the Chief Glider for K1X out of Germany, and that was a limited edition shoe that came out a couple months ago, and that's outfitted with the Bounce Magazine logo on the heel. So you can bring the sneaker, they can bring Bounce Magazine, which I've had three issues of, the book. I also did a couple of CDs. I did a compilation called Earth Tones for R2 Records and two compilations with Harmless Records alongside my partner DJ Spinner called Wonder Stevie, and they're all songs on the compilation that were written by Stevie Wonder but covered by other artists. So there's a ton of stuff that people can bring if they like to have signed, or if they just want to share stories or whatever.
That's tomorrow night at the Tokyo Lounge, and you're Bobito the Barber, a.k.a. DJ Cucumber Slice, and it's very exciting to speak to you, Bobito, because you are the barber, and I am Nardwar the Human Serviette, so we kind of have a similar sort of thing there going, but then you taught me by saying you're a.k.a. DJ Cucumber Slice. Like, it just won't end, will it?
Well, yeah, I used to be called the Barber up until about 1995 and 96. I did a radio show with DJ Stretch Armstrong here in New York, and we had a lot of fun. But I'm no longer known as the Barber. Nardwar.
Is that kind of a Cool Keith influence? Because he's always changing his name. Is that the importance of Cool Keith out there? Did he influence Bobito the Barber to become the Cucumber Slice?
No, I mean, Cool Keith, MF Doom, I mean, there's a ton of people in hip-hop who enjoy alter egos, and, you know, I changed my name because I wanted to have an identity as a DJ. When I was Bobito the Barber, I was known for being an air personality and producer. So, DJ Cucumber Slice, that's my club persona.
DJ Cucumber Slice, I played King Tim III to begin the Nardwar to Human Serviette radio show segment here with Bobito. Was that the very first rap record? What can you say about King Tim III? Have you ever met King Tim III? Has he ever been on your radio show? Where is he?
No, I don't know much about King Tim III at all, but I've never met him, and but I hope he's doing well.
That was the very first rap record, wasn't it? Or the first one that was actually released, although he ripped off his rhymes from a whole bunch of other people, right?
Well, I mean, that's what I've heard. I remember the record when it came out, the first record that I heard when it came out was Rap is the Light. However, I heard rhyming all the way back in 1977. That's when I was first introduced to the art form. I feel very fortunate to have heard it that early in its innocence.
Well, I'm kind of disappointed about Bobito the Barber, a.k.a. DJ Cucumber Slice, coming tomorrow night to the Tokyo Lounge in Vancouver, that you don't really know where King Tim III is. However, do you know much about Tim Dog? Speaking of Tim's, Tim Dog. Yeah! Yeah! You know, the guy that just yelled so much. Do you know much about Tim Dog? Where is Tim Dog? Is he a talent scout now?
No, I don't really know much about Tim Dog's whereabouts either. I haven't seen Tim Dog probably since 1993, so it's about 11 years since we came across each other. But
what was your experiences with Tim Dog? Because he was pretty anti-Compton, wasn't he? With Fuck Compton, and the way he just yelled, going, ah! He was a tough guy, but it sounded pretty amazing.
Well, Tim was very cool with Stretch and I. I mean, he like a lot of other artists who were very... they may have sounded angry on their records. I mean, they were, you know, they were artists, and so they afforded us the respect as I think most other artists would when they came by.
A friend of mine is heading to New York on Monday. Aren't there any hip-hop tours that maybe they could check out? I've heard about these hip-hop tours. Have you been on them? Are they worthwhile? If somebody wants to check out a hip-hop sort of vibe of New York, are there some tours to go on to? Or what places should people check out their Bobito, a.k.a. DJ Cucumber Slice, who you are coming to Vancouver tomorrow night to do some DJing at Tokyo Lounge? But if somebody's going to New York on Monday, what would they check out?
Well, on Monday, there's a spot called here in New York called APT, otherwise known as Apartment, and it's a great rotation of DJs. I'm there the last Monday of every month, and DJ Spin is there the first Monday, DJ Ellie's there the second Monday, and DJ Jer is there the third Monday of every month. So it's a good, really, really solid lineup. And also on Wednesday night, DJ Rich Medina is at APT as well, so... It's always a pretty surefire bet to hear some good music there.
How about the history end of it? Have you been on any of those hip-hop tours? Like, you get on a bus and they give you a gold chain and you get taken all around by Cool Herc? Is anything like that happening?
They do, yeah. They have, and I think, the bus tours, they do only in the summer, to my knowledge. I've never been on one, but I heard they're pretty cool.
And you are DJ Cucumber Slice, a.k.a. Bobito the Barber, coming to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, spinning your discs tomorrow night at the Tokyo Lounge. I'm always fascinated about the punk and rap connection. Like, going way back, you know, The Clash got Grandmaster Flash to open for them. The Beastie Boys were punk and in turn rap. And you have sort of a connection to that, too, because weren't you in the movie Summer of Sam? And that kind of had that era. What do you know about the punk-rap connection?
Well, I was an actor in Summer of Sam. I was 11 years old in the summer of 77, so I wasn't really too active on the music scene at all. However, I don't really know too much about the punk scene, but I do know that hip-hop has always, since its inception, embraced all genres of music so long as they have a beat. And that was the great thing about Afrika Bambaataa, who was a master of records in the late 70s and early 80s when he was Spin, because he really did not hesitate to play anything, whether it was a Soca record or a Hare Krishna record or a funk record or soul or whatever, Latin. If it had a beat and he thought it would move the crowd and it was original, then he would play it. So.
Did you ever see any early Beastie Boy gigs when they were punk? What do you think about the Beastie Boys and their punk move?
No, I didn't witness the Beasties as a punk band.
And speaking of punk and slam dancing, do you still write for Vibe magazine?
Yes, I do. I've written for Vibe magazine for 10 years now.
Were you at that big event that happened a little while back when everything exploded crazily there and it looked like a giant punk slam dance when unfortunately that guy got, when there was some stabbing back and forth?
No, I'm a writer for Vibe magazine, but very much as a satellite operation. I'm not in the offices. I don't really involve myself with too much of their events at all. So now I wasn't there.
Well, speaking of death or weird things, do you want to give any props to Old Dirty Bastard? It's so sad that he's dead. Did you ever have him on your radio show? What's your association with him? I think you did have him on the radio show quite a few times. How should people remember Old Dirty Bastard?
ODB used to be named Ace on Unique, and he came up to our radio show way back in 1991 with another artist named Prince Rakim, who later became the RZA. So we were fortunate. We had them extremely early, before they even the Wu-Tang. And in the summer of 1992, the RZA and ODB and Ghostface personally came to the radio show to deliver a white label test pressing of Protect Your Neck, which 6 months later, in 93, became one of the hugest hip-hop records in the country. So we were fortunate. We were the first people to play Protect Your Neck, and we were the first radio station to showcase their talents live as well.
But Pito the Barber, a.k.a. DJ Cucumber Slice, coming tomorrow to the Tokyo Lounge, 1050 Alberni Street here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You're doing a DJ set. Old Dirty Bastard, what was the deal behind him? Like, he would rush the stage when the Roots were on, or he'd rush the stage when, like, Dougie Fresh was on stage. Like, Dougie Fresh, pretty cool. The Roots, I guess, pretty cool. He just did everything. Like, why did he do those types of things?
I really don't know too much about his mind, except that he was a little out there. I mean, he needed help. I mean, it's unfortunate, but I mean, he did a lot of mind altering substances in his body. I'll leave it at that.
But Pito, you've also put out an amazing book called Where'd You Get Those, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Ron Artest and that whole thing that's been going down in the basketball world with him assaulting fans and him getting suspended for the entire season and then him putting out a rap CD, but it isn't really his rap CD. It's a girl group called Allure. What do you think about the Ron Artest situation?
I think that's an unfortunate situation. I think as a DJ, I've had items thrown at me. However, it's not my business to leave the DJ booth and jump into the crowd to retaliate. I think it's horrible though that he has something thrown at him, and I think it's just an all around unfortunate situation. Hey, I want to say thank you so much for your time, and hope that you'll be at the gig tomorrow night.
Is it okay, Bobby, to ask you a couple more questions? Or?
Yeah, I need to get going. But I want to tell the people of Vancouver that I have a ton of love for the city. I've been out there a number of times, particularly with EA Sports, the announcer for the video game NBA Street Volume 2 and for Volume 3, which will be out in 2005. So peace to all my people at EA. Peace to all my people.
Before you go, Bobito, just one quick question. Mm-hmm. The Vancouver Grizzlies, before you go, we got to ask you about the Vancouver Grizzlies.
I need to get going. But listen, to the people of the Nautic.
You know, are you dissing the Grizzlies again, Bobito? Don't diss the Grizzlies. Don't diss the Grizzlies. Was there any, just one quick, was there any Grizzly you like? Greg Anthony, Tony Massenburg, Blue Edwards, Grizzly?
I don't watch the NBA.
Oh, okay.
I'm down with the Nautic. It's a DVD from Vancouver.
Thank you very much.
Vancouver basketball.
Well, thank you very much, Bobito the Barber, a.k.a. DJ Cucumber Slice. You're going to be tomorrow at the Tokyo Lounge in Vancouver, 1050 Alberni Street. Thanks for your time. Keep on rocking for your world, and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Take care.
Almost, Bobito. Doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Yeah. Oh, doot-doo.
Yes, thank you. Rock on.
cheer, cause Tim Dog is here. Let's get right down to the nitty gritty and talk about a bullshit city. Talking about niggas from Compton, they're no Compton, they truly ain't stomping. Tim Dog, a black man's past, I'm so bad I whip Superman's ass. All you suckers that riff from the West Coast, I'll dish and spray ass like a roach. You think you're cool with your curls and your chains, I roll thick and you'll be yelling out rage. A hard brother that lives in New York, where suckers are hard and we don't have to talk. Shut your mouth before we come out stomping, ayo, easy. Fuck Compton. Fuck Compton. Fuck Compton. Yeah. Fuck Compton. Oh, yeah. Fuck him.
Why is this amazing?
Cause the boy ain't shit. Chew him with tobacco and spit him in shit. I crush Ice Cube, I'm cool with Ice T. But N.W.A. ain't shit to me. Dre, beating on D from Pump It Up. Step to the dog and get fucked up. I'm simplistic, imperialistic, idolistic. And I'm kicking up ballistics. Having that gang war, we wanna know what you're fighting for. Fighting over colors, all that gang shit's for dumb motherfuckers. But you go on thinking you're hard. Come to New York and we'll see who gets robbed. Take your Jerry curls, take your black hats, take your whack lyrics and your bullshit tracks. Now you're mad and you're thinking about stomping. Well, I'm from the South Bronx. Fuck Compton.
Fuck Compton.
Yeah.
Fuck Compton.
Yeah. Ha ha.
Fuck Compton.
Fuck 'em. Yeah. Tim Dog and I'm the best from the east. And all this Compton shit must cease. So keep your eyes on the prize and don't jeopardize my rhyme, cause that's not wise. You really think that you can rhyme? Well, come and get some of this loaded tech nine. Shots of cold gunning. And you'll really be 100 miles and running. You wanna play, go ride in a sleigh. I'm so large to fuck Michelle A. In the bathroom. We was boning. You should have heard how the bitch was moaning. Shut the fuck up, bitch. You can't sing. You sound like a kid playing on a swing. I'm the man at hand to run the band that's in command. You know who the fuck I am. Tim Dog. What's my motherfucking name? Tim Dog. That's my motherfucking game. So whether you think that I'm just the myth, the riff, the lift, the gift, the if, the fifth, the shift, the flip, that's in control, the hole, the fold, the bowl, and make it, make it, take it, fake. Woo! And I'm still too great.
Fuck off, man.
Yeah, just a little something to let you know that these West Coast rappers ain't taking over. Cause I'm straight out the South Bronx, and we ain't having that shit. Tim Dog, peace out.
Fuck up.
Rosie Rose, and I want to teach you how to break dance. So get up, stretch out, and let's get loose. Let's start with uprocking. Basic uprocking is a two-count rhythmic movement which is always done just before you do the floor rocking when breaking. Sort of like footwork in boxing. Clean, rhythmic, and precise. Let's try. Ready? Put your feet together and cross your arms over your chest. Pivot on your left foot and cross your right foot over the left while swinging your arms open. This is count one. Return to the first position, arms crossed. This is count two. Now let's try it to the right side. Pivot on your right foot and cross your left foot over your right, swinging your arms open. This is count one. Return to first position, two. Now let's put that all together. Ready to the left, cross, together. Ready to the right, cross, together. Let's try it a little bit faster. And pivot, together. Pivot, together. Pivot, together. Pivot, together. All right! Now let's try it a little bit faster. And now put the accent on count one. goes like this. And one, two, one, two, one, two, one, two. It's like you're stamping out a bug. Let's try it. Ready, go! And one, two, 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 one, two. You got it! Two, one, two, one, two, one, two. Bust it out! Woo! One, two, one, two, one, one, two, one, two. Keep it up and make it your own. Breaking is floor rocking. This is always done before you do a breakdance move. It's really easy. You just have to practice. The first thing you do is crouch down, putting your hands next to your feet. Pick up your left hand, putting your weight on your right hand, and cross your right leg over the left. This is count one. While transferring your weight to your two hands in front of you, extend your left leg back. This is count two. Now bring your right foot next to the left. This is count three. With your hands on the ground, cross your left foot in front of your right knee. This is count four. Tuck your right foot into your left knee. This is count five. Now just uncross your legs and bring your left foot next to your right. You're back at the beginning. This is count six. Let's practice. Start slow, and then increase your speed. Ready? And cross. Back. Step side. Cross front. Tuck in. Together. Again, cross front. Step back. Step side. Step front. Tuck in. Together. Again, cross front. Step back. Step side. Step front. Cross back. In. Together. Again, cross front. Step back. Step side. Cross front. Tuck in, step together, again, cross front, step back, step side, cross front, tuck in, step together, again, cross front, step back, step side, cross front, tuck in, step together, try it a little bit faster, and one, two, three, four, five, six, and one, two, three, four, five, six, keep it up, can you double the time? And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 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 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now try to keep going, and don't stop at all. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hesitation? That's a little freeze. You can rest on this. Keep going. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all right. And scrape your legs. Woo! Try a flexibility breaking move. A spider. You really have to stretch for this one. First thing you have to do is crouch down, stick one shoulder under your knee, and then stick the other one under the other knee. Put your hands on the ground in front of you and try to balance. You can walk too. Step with your feet, move your hands. 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 Pick up your feet and wave them. Put them back down on the ground before you fall. Chase somebody around the house. See how fast you can go. All right. Can you go in circles? You have to move your hands behind you, your feet around. Hands behind you, feet around. Hands behind you, feet around. Hands behind you, feet around. Keep going. Try to do it a little bit faster. Can you put one foot behind your head? Ha! Try it with some friends. Keep running. All right. Now you're ready to try a real breakdance move. Here's one that I thought you'd like to try. A hand glide. Basically, all a hand glide is balancing all your weight on one hand while spinning. The trick is where and how you place your hand. You must put your elbow at your hip and keep your hand palm down and fingers pointed towards your toes under your stomach. Now balance all your weight on that hand. Get your legs off the ground. If you want, you could use your toes on the ground to get your balance. Now you're ready to start to move. Just begin the spin by using your free hand to pull on the ground. Simple, right? Don't knock yourself out getting that move down just yet. It's a tough move that takes a lot of strength and balance, so you have to work up to it. The backspin is the move you might have seen a girl do in the end of Splashdance. You could do this move on the right or left side. I'm going to show it to you on the right side. Lay on your right side and extend the right arm on the ground up over your head with the palm of your hand down, pulling on the ground. Swing your left leg along the ground in front of you and then up over your head. Quickly whip the right leg in the same direction, snapping it into position over your head with your left leg bent and with the left ankle wrapped behind the right knee. This position is called a four. Remember, tuck your legs in close to your body. A good trick is to wrap your arms around the outside of your thighs when you hit the four. Let's practice. Try to put some up rocking, then do some floor rocking, and then try a move. You're ready to battle. You know how to go down with some breaking. It's time that you get loose with some electric boogie. We'll start off with moonwalking, sometimes known as floating. When it's done well, it always looks fresh, and it goes with any style of boogie. First thing you do is put your feet together. Flex one foot and put all your weight on that foot. Keeping your heel down, slide the other foot back. Now switch your weight and flex the back foot, flattening the front and slide it back. Switch and flex the back foot, flatten the front, and slide. Flex, flex, slide, flex, slide, flex, slide, flex. Now make it as smooth as possible. Slide, flex, slide.
flex, slide, flex, slide, flex, slide, 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 or ride. Like you're on ice. Woo! And slide, 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 slide. You can turn around too. And go back. Slide, 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 slide. Woo! Try this one going to school. Egyptian art. Just look at the right angles in your arms when doing the king's hug. Start with your elbows bent and your forearms up. This is creating a right angle. Your fingers are extended towards the left and your palms are down. Now rotate the wrist of your left hand, turning your fingers inward towards your head. Extend and rotate your head to look at your right hand. Now rotate your right wrist so that your fingers are pointing out, away from your face. Now let's do it back. Starting with your right hand, turn your fingers in towards your head, rotate your head towards your left hand, and rotate your left hand out. Now let's try a little bit faster. It gets easier then. You ready? Let's go. And hand, head, hand, hand, head, hand, hand. Head, hand, hand, 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 head, or right. Now you can rotate one of your arms from your elbow, swinging it down. Hold that shape and try doing the moonwalk. Slide, 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 slide. Okay, let's go back to the routine. You ready? 6, 7, 8, and hand, head, hand, 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 hand, head. Circle your arm down and moonwalk. Slide, 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 slide. All right, you got it. Move to practice because you can do it chilling at home, or you can do it when you're hanging out with your friends. The arm wave, you stuck your hand in a bucket of tennis ball, the ball up the back of your hand, across your shoulders and down your arm and out your hand. Now pass it back through your hand, up your arm, past your shoulders, out your arm and up the other hand. You can do it a little faster too. Ready? Dive the hand up your arm, across your shoulder, out the arm, out the hand. Dive the hand up the arm, across your shoulder, out the arm, up the hand. All right. Now the chain wave is the same as an arm wave, except that you lock your hands with your friends.
The first person starts the wave in his hand, and he watches the wave pass up his arm, across his shoulder, down the other arm, and then pass it on to his friend. His friend then picks up the wave and passes it through his body by pushing his chest out, then his hips, and then brings it down to his knees as he bends his knees. Then he pops his heels down and straightens his knees, brings back up through his hips and his chest, and out his arm. And he passes it on. And it keeps going. Till it comes back. Alright, now everybody, let's try it. Put your hands up and go for it. You can boogie. Woo! Fast, fast, who's got their body? Woo! Right. Pass back. Down, dip, dip, dip. Down, pass down to your knees. And up. Keep the rhythm. Keep it smooth. Don't break that chain.
California style of electric boogie. It's really just a twist of your wrists, and you laugh all the time. Twist your wrists up in the air next to your head. Then twist them around and slap your hands behind your back. Bend your knees. Bring your hands back up and twist your wrists next to your head and twist them down and slap your knees. Now twist one hand up and drop it and point. Now kick. Woo! You got it. Let's try it again. Ready? Hands up. Twist your hands up. Twist them back and clap. Twist your hands up. Twist them down and slap your knees. Twist your hand up. Twist it down and point. And kick. All right. Try to do it a little bit faster. Twist up your hand is going to be one. Twist down and clap is two. Twist up is three. Twist down and slap your knees is four. Twist up one hand is five. Drop down and point six. And jump seven, eight. All right. Now let's do it faster. Ready? Let's go. Twist up one. Slap two. Up three. Slap your knee four. Clap five. Point six. And jump. Seven, eight, again, and twist up. One, down, two, up, three, down, four, up, 5.6, jump, seven, eight, again, and up. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, and one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Now that you know the moves, I'm gonna bust out and leave you with some rockin' it tunes to rehearse by. Remember, it takes a lot of practice to be a fresh breakdancer. It's all up to you. Keep it chilly, Willie. All right.
Some more. The reason that I'm addressing you, it's a simple one. It's got to do with the electric boogie. So give me a chance to tell you about the merits of a brand new dance. We're starting it now with the moving your feet and make them flow on the rhythm of the beat. It's
caught the basics, now take good care. Make it look like you're floating on air. Now I'm not an easy guy to come around with, and I'm warning you, my demands are strict. So concentrate, don't react too late, because I really hate it when I got to wait. Now leave the castle for the space. Walk toes down, heels up, make your body a dog. What you need is practice, so the only way is to carry on 24 hours a day. Your parents, your teacher, will take you for a fool, but you don't care, you're the hero of the school. Getting down to electric boogie, and you will see there's nothing to it. What you need is a good control over your muscles, your bones, your body, and soul. Do it, make that body shock. I wanna see the current flow when you rock. The special thing is the caterpillar. Done properly, it can be a real thriller. Lying on your belly, let the movement show. Get a wave to go from top to toe. Now emphasize it, let the body a pop. Think of the jive and laugh, and don't you dare stop it. No, this is not good enough. Give me some more explosive stuff. You know I need less subtlety. You gotta give it a more credibility. Hey, city of crew, I'm a talker to you. I think I just might have the other clue. Let's break dance now, it's a groovy thing. So fast, one can barely see what's happening. Make a hat spin, a back spin, a turn around. Do a fake turn, a time to jump on the ground. Get ready, city crew, stay on the double. Better do it, what I say, stay out of trouble.
We like to put a medley of songs together, and right now it happens to be Neil Diamond. Do we have any Neil Diamond fans here tonight?
Do we have any medley fans here tonight? Now, a lot of you folks probably don't know what a medley is. I realize that. So I'll tell you, for all you laymen out there and all you lay ladies, a group of songs is what a medley is, put together in such a fashion that this is the neat part. We go right through them without even stopping. That neat? Get more for your clap that way. So we're going to do that.
So here they are, some of our favorite tunes by Neil
Diamond.
I love
a parade.
I don't know why you guys are going in there. There's no paper in there anyway.
Some Neil Diamond music.
Red, red wine. Make me forget that I still need a soul. Red, red wine, it's up to you. All I can do, I've done, but memories won't go. No memories won't go. I had thought that with time, thoughts of the would leave my head. But I found that with time, just one thing makes me forget. Red, red wine, stay close to me.
It's tearing apart my blue, blue heart.
2, 3, 4.
Rockin' while they get on board. Are we gonna ride till there ain't no more to go? Take it easy slow. Lord, as you know, I need time with a poor man's lady. It's your knowledge while that train ain't nothing easy that I can't take along. Maybe a song, this ain't what I want. No need to say please, then I'm out for a happy tune. Bass section. Oh, I love my rosy child. You got the way to make me happy. You and me, we don't stop. Rattling the rosier is for my woman. You make me sing like a guitar. Hang on the bigger song keeps running on. Play it now, play it now, play it now. My baby loves me, yes, yes, she does. On the road by the side, all right. Says she loves me, yes, yes, she does. You're gonna show her to die, all right. You got the way. Cause we got things we got to catch up on. Oh, you know, you know, you know what I'm saying. Well, can't stand to see while the music's playing. You got the way to move me, Cherry.
You got the way to move me,
Cherry.
Daytime turn me on, I don't mean maybe. That 9 to 5 ain't taking me where I'm bound. But when it's done, I run out to see my baby. And we get grooving when the sun goes down. Thank the Lord for the night time.
Thank the Lord for the night.
We got a day.
I forget the day.
I'll take my bus right now.
Oh, I'm gonna die
now. Chase it away.
Oh, chase
it away.
Get
a relaxation.
Thank the Lord for the night time.
Talk about plans, baby, I got plans, yeah. But nothing never seemed to turn out the way it should. And yet talk about money, honey, I ain't got any. Yeah, but it seems like just one time I'm feeling good. Thank the Lord for the night time.
Thank the Lord for the night time.
Get the day.
I'll get the day.
I'll take my bum tight now.
All of my time
maybe
now.
Chase it away.
Oh, chase it away.
Let my get relaxation.